Just a word. I spent some time with George Reed this week, and he's got plenty of time to spend, I'll tell you. And I went in that the aide was trying to give him a shave. I said to her, "You don't know what you're doing. Just hand me that razor." And it was an electric razor, thank goodness. And so George and I talked as I shaved him. It took a while. And he said, I've been thinking and I've been praying for the church. And he said, reach over there, Ray, and get a hold of those phone books. Good grief, he had every phone book from since we started making them here, I think. And he said, here's who you got to call. Just leaf through it. And I would go through the list, and he'd say, yep, call them, call them, call them. They're sitting at home. I don't know how he knows it. They're not going to church. And he said, get a handle on these people. And I thought, that's a pretty good idea. So I have that list. But George, as Dave said, he's failing with this ALS. He said, Ray, could you pick my hand up and put my finger on the button like he did the last time I saw him? He said, I can't get around unless I can have my finger on that button. And I thought, George, you know you can't get around if you don't have your heart on the Lord. And he said, that's exactly the way it is. He said, I never thought I'd land here, but here I am. So today we're going to look in God's Word. We're going back to that Philippians passage, Philippians chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 12 through 18. And this whole book is a book of joy. The whole book contains that because Paul is writing a thank you letter to the Philippians for sending money with that guy, I told you last week, Epaphroditus. He was a worker in the church at Philippi, and he's taking money down to Rome to pay off the guards to take good care of Paul while he's there. This is 11 years after he had ministered in Philippi. So we get that in our head. And Thomas has told me that this thing works. And we'll show you what it does. Where's that map, Thomas? There we go. So here's Paul's missionary journey. I'll find it. Which one is the pointer? Which one's the pointer, Thomas? Oh, it's good to turn it on. Oh, okay. Now, which is the pointer?
The green one.
Oh. See that? It does work. So Paul, in this missionary journey, started here and went up to Antioch. Paul of Tarsus, that's home territory for Paul, isn't it? He is known as Paul of Tarsus. Then up to Derbe, Iconium, Lystra, Antioch, Troas. He went a long way. Across the Aegean Sea and goes up to Philippi. First, and Philippi is in Macedonia, the first European word to the people in Europe was at Philippi. And then the word spread from there. Came back down to Corinth, back to Ephesus, over to Ephesus, and back to Jerusalem. And that was his journey and how he got to Philippi. But before we go any further, we need to pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus Christ. It's good to come to this place of worship, put aside the cares of life and the business of living out there in the world, worrying about how everything will turn out in our lives. Even now, those thoughts drown out your voice and the word you want to speak to us. We want to hear from you, Lord. We want a fresh encounter with you. Help us to know where we are in our relationship with you and speak to our hearts this day. Father, we pray for those here today who are going through despair, disappointment, or heartaches that can't be voiced. Help us to be sensitive to their needs through your Spirit working on them and us. Help that a caring heart might be evident in each of us, and that we might be sensitive to the needs of others. Help us, Father, as we unite in working toward some goals that will need to be met in this congregation. Give us a clear picture of the steps that we should take as believers in Jesus Christ. Help us to speak the word. Help us to live the word. Help us to preach the word, that Christ might be honored and revered in this community. Help us, Father, not to just wonder what will happen next, but help us, Father, to put feet to our wonderment and help us to help those happenings take place. We pray for the leaders of our nation, for our president, for wisdom, for the cabinet members and Senate and Congress, the military personnel at home and abroad, especially for those in the Mideast. They face danger and death each day. We pray for our enemies and the uncertainty in our world, that hearts might be changed because of an encounter with Christ. That's the only way that it can happen. The change can take place. We pray for our church, for our leaders, for our plans, our programs. We need your guidance and direction for this church. Help us be faithful and to trust in you with all our hearts. We're people who have special needs in our lives, physical problems, family problems, and we wonder why. And we often can see why, or we often are wondering and praying. We pray that our faith will not fail. Give us grace and healing to see them through. Father, I believe you want to do a great work in our hearts and lives today. May your Spirit be upon us, and may we sense that Spirit speaking to our hearts. Renew us, O Lord. Bring revival to our hearts, each one of us. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're in a sticky situation here, folks. You know it and I know it. You're getting older by the second. And so am I. And we know that we need to see something happen here. And we need to all be involved and part of that happening. I got a message from a fellow. I was at Smethport as their interim for 13 weeks a few years back. And I got a message from the fellow there who said, "We haven't had a pastor for 5 years." not good. Here's a beautiful parsonage right across the street from that church. It's tough. The Du Bois Alliance Church is right on the edge of closing. Reynoldsville has closed. We're in our position here. Clarion has 15 people. And I could go on and on. Sounds bleak. Sounds like there needs to be a great revival across the Alliance, especially in our area. We have the message. Christ is our Savior. He's our sanctifier. He's our healer. He's our coming King. Important topics. And we've got the word to share with people. I'm going to go down there and put on the sign, "We need people. Come in." We'll see what happens. And I'm sure there are many churches around that could say that very thing. So be in prayer and be aware that we are going to work. I've just been surveying things the last couple weeks and checking things out and talking to the temperature of things and kind of getting a fresh view my third time around. Maybe I'll get it right this time. I don't know. Third time's a charm, but we don't believe in charms, do we? Now let's look at something a little lighter. You know, Jackie, there are only two things in this world that we have to worry about in life. Now, I wasn't clever enough to think this up, and you've probably seen it. Maybe some of you have. Thomas has probably seen it. Two things in this life to worry about, whether you're healthy or sick. If you're healthy, you got nothing to worry about. If you're sick, you've got two things to worry about. Whether you're going to get better, whether you're going to get worse. If you get better, nothing to worry about. If you get worse, two things to worry about. Whether you're going to live, whether you're going to die. If you live, you've got nothing to worry about. If you die, you've got two things to worry about. Whether you're going to heaven or whether you're going to hell. Now, if you go to heaven, Joe, what do you have to worry about? Not a thing. If you go to hell, two things to worry about. Original or extra crispy. Okay, there you go. One of the responsibilities in this life is to live our lives as examples to others. We connect with people at work. We connect with different groups. You know that I've been going to McDonald's for coffee for 20 plus years, and they change. They die off. Started out with Fred Dean and some others. Some of you might know him, but some of you don't. But Fred died, and then Bob Tonkin died, and then a couple new guys came in. So it's always a change of people. But you know, these fellows aren't all believers, but they'll kind of hang out, and they will say to me when everybody's not there, "Ray, could you pray for this or pray for that? Would you remember this person or that person in prayer? Remember my son or my daughter." And people know that I'll pray for them. So we have people that we come in contact with. We have recreational activities that we're involved in. And the desire to see people saved and saved from hell so they don't have to experience extra crispy, even original. We don't want to see that. We want to see them saved and on their way to heaven. Sometimes it's not easy to be a Christian and be bold for the cause of Christ in our society. But we don't all have to be doing the same thing. I'm not expecting you people to get up here and preach a sermon. This is where God has called me. This is where he's put me. But he has a gift that he's given you. This isn't even in my sermon. Well, it is now. I didn't plan on this. So each of us has a gift. And those gifts can be put in action. And we can see a real revival as we put those gifts in action. From the even before you were born, God had a plan for your life. Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah tells us that. He has a plan for your life. He has something for you to do in this great kingdom that is being built. And he'll make a way for you to do it. Please don't sit on that gift. Please put that gift to action. And it might not be speaking. It might not even be praying, but you can pray in your spirit. It might be some little thing that you think, this doesn't count. But every action for the Lord counts. And that's what Paul is telling us in our scripture today. It counts. Everything counts. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. Paul says to the brethren, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." He's been beaten, he's been kicked, he's been thrown in jail. He's in prison for 2 years. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and will rejoice. I got it now. Thanks, Thomas. My little button. Don't forget to bring your Bibles with you also, because I might be telling you something that's way out of kilter, and you need to know where to turn in the Bible, and sometimes that can get rusty, so bring those Bibles and just carry them along with you. This thing might go dead someday, and you need to have that Bible with you. It's a good thing. The scriptures give us insight in how we can live. We look at the Ten Commandments, and we know that much of our judicial system and our country are built on those 10 principles. thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not, we can go through all of them, and we can see that those principles are what we stand on in U.S. We can look at the Beatitudes. Those Beatitudes, that Sermon on the Mount, Christ said, and this is the first time he spoke to that large group, and he said, here's what you're going to learn. He didn't say, I want you to do this right now, but through his ministry and through his example, he said, here's what you're going to learn. I'll just get rid of that thing. Okay, better. 13 books in the New Testament Paul wrote, and we have the Word of God. Remember, Paul was struck blind and was in that upper room for 3 days. He learned a lot, and as he traveled and as he prayed and spent time with others, he learned so much from God through the Holy Spirit. We can see that there's unity in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, all working together for the good of mankind. This is God's plan. Like I said last week, it's not, you're not here by accident. You're here for a reason. You're here for a purpose. You're here in this building for a reason. You're here for a purpose. This isn't just fate that drew you into this place. We have to bring to the world, our world, the truth. So we're going to dive into this now. Put on your snorkel mask or whatever you need, your fins, but we'll dive into this and see what God says to us through it. Paul, at this writing, is in prison in Rome. He stopped at Philippi on that second missionary journey, and he stayed there for 3 months, and then he went on his way. And then eventually, 11 years later, he's arrested. But these guys are still praying for him in Philippi. And they send Epaphroditus. Paul in Rome wasn't on a missionary journey, but he's arrested. We'll get to that eventually. Paul had accepted Christ's words, and he appropriated them and put them and let them into his heart and into his life, and let them be part of his being. You know, whenever I was called to be a pastor, called into the ministry, I didn't know where I was going, what I was doing. All I know is I didn't want to go, and I didn't want to do it. Not at all. I will send money to missions. I will support the church. I will teach a Sunday school class, but I'm not going to do this preaching deal or be a pastor. Not on your life. Here I am. And how Judy and I went back and forth. Should we go? Should we leave? Should we head off to Tacoma Falls? What should we do? This is kind of crazy. Got this lumber mill, and it'll be mine, and me and my brother, and we'll make plenty of money, and I can grade lumber, and I can just talk to these boards. They won't give me any trouble like the boards do. No, I don't have any boards members here that give me trouble. But Paul said, and Paul accepted the fact, that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, great verse, Christ said before he ascended, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. Philippi, the uttermost parts of the world. Up in that neck of the woods. Didn't know a whole lot about it, but here he was, with this group of Roman, retired Roman soldiers. I'm here with a bunch of retired. No, Adam works. I don't know. There's probably others that still work. But I'm here with retired people, just like Paul was. Oh boy, I didn't think much of that before. So here I am in Brookville, and here you are in Brookville, and you're stuck with me for a while, till the Lord makes a change. And Paul says in verse 12, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." Things that took place in my life, all this prison and all this, have furthered the cause of Jesus Christ. What a great attitude to have. If only everyone would have that kind of attitude. Now, these palace guards, in verse 13, it says, "It's become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ." These palace guards were the Praetorian Guards. Sounds pretty impressive, doesn't it, Virginia? If you were a Praetorian Guard, you wanted to be somebody, you were somebody. And they were the elite of the Roman soldiers. There were about 9,000 Praetorian guards, Praetorian soldiers. And Paul was chained to a Roman guard every day, 6 hours a day, four different guards, 4 times 6 equals 24. He was chained to this other guy for 2 years. Ay, ay, ay. Chained to this man for 2 years. These Praetorian guards came from very elite families. And they would have to go home and say, "I was stuck with that guy, Paul, for X amount of hours this week. How would you like that? Joni, wouldn't that be wonderful? To be handcuffed to somebody else 6, 18, 24, 36 hours in the week, changing shifts every 6 hours. And I'm telling you, and you and I can look beyond just being chained. It's like Malchus's ear. You remember Malchus's ear, the fellow that had his ear cut off in the garden when Christ was arrested. And the ear fell off and fell to the ground. And Christ reached down and picked the ear up and put it on his head back. Put that ear back. He had to go back to Caiaphas, who was his boss. And Caiaphas said, "How did everything go?" "It went okay, but Malchus got his ear cut off." And he said, "Let me see Malchus." Malchus went in, the ear's on. "What do you mean he got his ear cut off?" This isn't in scripture, this is in Ray's head. Jesus put it back. And every time Caiaphas would look at Malchus, his servant, he would think, "Jesus put it back." These men who were chained to Christ, or to Paul, every time they would think of that guy, they would remember the message and the word that Paul spoke about Christ. He didn't just idly sit there and play Scrabble. They didn't play cards that I know of. Might have done something like that. But Paul spoke Christ. And he said it was nothing wrong with that. It was a wonderful thing. The gospel has been spread with my prison experience. Now, have any of you ever spent time in prison? Don't raise your hand, please. I don't want to know. Okay. I see Ed back there. I don't know. That's questionable. But you know, you can look at that Paul was chained to the guard. But you can say the guard was chained to Paul. It's a little different perspective of that. He's chained to you. We can take that word, we can live that word with just a warm smile or just the right word at the right time to let people know that we are followers of the living God. It's so easy to do, folks. I was with a lady this week that is just got on my list for hospice. And the aide came in and said to the lady, "Do you want to get your hair done?" Well, this lady couldn't say yes or no. She wanted to say, and I knew that it was in there. And I said, and her name was Judy. Living with Judy has helped me working with the, no, I'm just joking. So here was Judy. "Judy, do you want your hair done?" And her hair looked okay. And she's trying to say it. I said, she can't get the word out. "Can't she speak?" this girl said. I said, "No, but I think she's okay. I'm going to stay and pray with her." "Who are you?" "I'm the preacher." "My boyfriend needs to talk to a preacher." So for 20 minutes, this girl told me about what they needed and how they needed a church and how they needed. I said, "Dear, here's my card. You come to church." She's not here, but I'll follow up. I know where she works. But here's an opportunity. These things come up to us. They come right before us if we're bold enough to speak, if we're bold enough to use that gift, the fruits of the Spirit, and show love and joy, peace. And we can be successful. Those guards went home to mom and dad and to the family, said, "I'm stuck with Paul." And they got the message. Here's what Paul is saying. 6 hours a day, he's talking about Christ. And they take the word home. And the word was spread. Do any of you have any of those bamboo plants in a pot at home? You know, they're very nice, those bamboo. Dorinda, do you have bamboo in your yard? No. If you get a bamboo root and you plant it in your yard, it takes 5 years for that thing to spread out and take root. But on the fifth year, within 3 months, that thing will grow to 60 feet tall. 60 feet tall, and this is in, you know, down where it's pretty warm all the time. They have plenty of it in Florida. 60 feet tall within 3 months. Working, and finally it takes hold. And up it comes. It's like the gospel many times. We keep on plugging away, and eventually it will come to fruition. Our kids, your kids, my kids, our families, they grew up hearing the word, and you wonder, well, will this ever come to fruition? Will they ever be what we would like them to be? Eventually, they'll be what God wants them to be, and in God's way. Amen? Renee says amen. I see her back there. See, I know you people, so I call you out during the service. My next point is, oh boy, I'm getting windy. Back in my home church of Barnesboro, PA, which is not existent, it's now Northern Cambria, there was an Alliance Church behind the tire shop, and it's been bulldozed, and the sheet store sits on the spot. But a young fella came, he and his wife, and they came to the church, and they were from Philadelphia. They didn't know about Western PA. He said, he talked to me and he said, my house is so cold and I can't get the furnace going. He said, I have a coal furnace and I can't get it. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. So I went over. I said, let's see what I can do. I went over and here he had all the kindling wood and he had it down in the ash pit so it would burn and burn up in the coal and catch the coal on fire. We know that's not right. Put some paper in there, put the wood on top of the paper, get that going, and then put some coal in the middle, and then it'll catch on fire, and add your coal, and then you can manage it. And Adam, did you ever do that with a fire? He knows about it, good. Should have sent you to the guy. He said, Reverend Baker, I wasn't Reverend then. He said, Ray, I see when you do things right, it works. And we have heat. We sat in that basement of that old house, watching all this process, and we prayed, and we talked. And he poured his heart out to me. God puts us in the right spot at the right time. I should write a book. I'm going to. I'll do it. God uses our trials to encourage others and to encourage other believers. Verse 14, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. I've seen how God has worked in Paul's life. And you know, if God works in Paul's life, he'll work in my life. And he will use me. Most of the brethren have become more confident. Not everybody, but most of the brethren have become more confident. Now, you and I know that this church has been one to proclaim the gospel. Many have been saved, many have not. Many signed on as fellow workers, and they've been at prayer meeting and Bible study and baptism, and some things went okay and some things not so good. But many have become confident as we have continued in the faith, as Paul continued in the faith. They followed others in the field, in the faith, and came to be good workers in Christ. Then verses 15 through 17, we'll dive in there. Let me try. Yep. I'm doing it, it's getting smarter. But the print is small. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife. Paul says there's some of these people that are preaching Christ and they're doing out of ulterior motives. And it's not good motives. They've got something else in mind, but they're preaching Christ. And we'll go a little further. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my chains. They're out to get me. They're out to create a problem for me. Who wants to have people in your congregation or people preaching that are out to get you? Oh boy, there's a real warfare, a real battle. So it's a mixed motive. Now, there's a few preachers that I have trouble with. And I have trouble with a preacher who's worth $100 million. I do. I think something is amiss. Something is amiss. And live in a $21 million home on the lake. And have three jets to get them where they want to go. Do you think I'm wrong? Do you think I shouldn't say anything? I guess I'll speak out against it. I have a list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I'm not going to say them from the pulpit, but 8 people that make from $15 million to $760 million a year. That's their value. There's something wrong. Those are the former. Those are the ones that are proclaiming Christ. But God is still using that message from those false people to speak to people. Now, we don't want them sending in all their funds, and I'm not going to... Is this going on the YouTube? No, okay, good. I'm not going to ask for funds on YouTube. But they're preaching Christ with the wrong motives, and Paul said, I don't care about that. As long as they're preaching Christ, God will take care of what they're doing wrong. Preach the word, speak the word of Christ, and they can do it. They can say it, but they might have the wrong motive. They were jealous of Paul, and they wanted to stir up trouble for him. And Paul said, they're adding affliction to my chains. It's like that chain is on my wrist, and it's just giving me trouble. You have to call for Joe to help the back and the arms and the wrists. But Paul says that there are others that preached with all sincerity. And he then says, I'll stand in defense of the gospel. He doesn't become bitter. He doesn't have ulterior motives. He said, if Christ is preached, then I rejoice. So we rejoice with those that are preaching the true word. And we see many come to know Christ in our community. Paul didn't decide, I'll get back at them. I'll pray the fires of hell down upon them. I'm going to love them. Love them into the kingdom. And Paul says, the greatest joy, verse 18, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Paul's not worried about it. He's not worried about his reputation. He's not worried about his comfort or worried about his freedom. And his focus is Christ being proclaimed. Our focus at Brookville Alliance Church is that Christ is being proclaimed and Christ is being seen in us. We can have a great renewal here, folks. We can have a revival. Let the desire of your heart that Christ be in the very depths of our hearts. That he comes in such a way that we are separated from the world, that nothing can harm us. We have no fear of anything. That we are set apart. Christ as Savior, sanctifier, set apart. When I was a boy in that Wesleyan church up on the hill, they would go on about being saved. Every week I had to get re-saved. Because I went to the movie. And then they would preach about sanctification. And this old guy, Brother Shepherd, would stand up and say, I thank God I'm saved and I'm sanctified. I never sin anymore. I thought, that's amazing. This guy never sins anymore. I thought, I suppose that would be a good thing, but I didn't find out about sanctification until I was about 26 or 27 years old. Found out what it was, that it's an experience, and that it is an ongoing, it's progressive in our lives. And we become less and less apt to turn to that sin. Amen? Wake up, people. Wake up, okay. So God uses hard circumstances, and he uses faithful courage, and he uses imperfect people. I see a bunch of you. And he uses people like us. Amazing. You're the hope of the world. Oh boy. I'll take a picture and put that on YouTube. This is the hope of the world. Oh boy. Will we allow God to use our lives no matter what? What have we got to lose, Lois? We don't have anything to lose. Except the joy of seeing people come to know Christ. They thought they had silenced Paul, lock him in jail, keep him there for a couple years. He'll tone down his message and he'll be a little lamb when he comes out. All they did was to give Paul a captive audience. I'm stuck with him again. So here you are, you're stuck with me again, but we're going to make the best of it. Amen?
Amen.
We will. God is good and mighty. Malia is going to come, we're going to sing, and then we'll have the closing prayer, and we're going to be going down for lunch. If you would like to stay, you're welcome.